I'm Bande Sujata. Welcome to Dhamma Threads. And for this session, I'm here with Simon Power. And we're going to be talking about a couple of verses from the Theragata, the verses of senior monks. If you're interested in these verses, you can read them on Sutta Central. The verse we're going to be discussing today is the Ganga Thirya. This is Theragata number 2.4. And I'll just read the verse to start with. My hut on the bank of the Ganges is made from three palm leaves. My alms bowl is a funeral pot. My robe is cast off rags. In my first two rainy seasons, I spoke only one word. In my third rainy season, the mass of darkness was torn apart. So here's a fairly, intimidating description of practice, of highly ascetic lifestyle. Extreme kind of simplicity. Three palm leaves, yeah? And so the name of the monk here is Ganga Thirya, which obviously just means somebody who's dwelling on the bank of the Ganges. So they're kind of named after the verses, so we're not really sure what the monk's name is. But this is that kind of great simplicity that they were living in. The alms bowl's a funeral pot, the robe is cast off rags. The second verse here, it was a little bit difficult to interpret the Pali. You can either read it as saying for the first 2 years that he was a monk, that he spoke only one word, because the word vasa can either mean a rainy season or a year. So it could mean in the first two years that I was a monk, I spoke only one word. But I sort of interpreted it with the kind of the lesser lesser claim that the first two rainy seasons he spoke only one word, so that the idea being that he's practicing during the rainy season to keep that very quiet practice, and that sort of perhaps is supported by just by the idea of that he's staying in the hut, because typically the monks and nuns would wander from place to place for most of the year and would settle down and stay in a hut for the 3 months of the rainy season. So that's how I interpreted that. So anyway, after the first two rainy seasons, I spoke only one word, and then the mass of darkness was torn apart. And this, of course, very striking imagery, but that mass of darkness, of course, being the darkness of ignorance, of avidya. And so here, this is like, this is the flip side of the imagery of enlightenment, that idea that there's a radiance and illumination that comes from awakening. And so ignorance is the darkness which hides from us what the truth is. And so that mass of ignorance is torn apart. So Simon, what did you think of this verse, or how was your response to it?
I really love the last line, the mass of darkness was torn apart. But what interested me with this verse, very similar to other verses that I read, was the presence of ascetic practices. So very simple living conditions, robes made from rags, and in this case, a begging bowl made out of a funeral pot.
Yeah.
And these ascetic verses, how accurate do you think they are as a depiction of practice?
Sure, perfectly accurate. No doubt that that's exactly what they were doing. I mean, you get monks these days who are also living very similarly ascetic lives. The funeral pot thing, I mean, I'm not entirely sure what that refers to, but my guess is that it would be like some kind of urn for keeping ashes in. So in the Vinaya, that it's actually banned. The Buddha, it's banned to use a skull as your alms bowl, okay? Which means that monks actually were using skulls as alms bowls, right?
Right.
In order for there to be a ban on it, but you can obviously use a funeral pot. So I guess you're going to the sound ground, finding an old urn or something that's been discarded, washing out the, ashes of the former occupants of the urn, I'm not sure, and then sort of using that as your bowl. Cast off rags is kind of standard, and even these days monks who will keep that practice. I had one young monk with me at Santi for a while. Whenever we'd go around anywhere, he'd keep his eye on the ground for bits of rags that had been washed up in the gutter or just discarded somewhere, and he was collecting them all and trying to sew them into a robe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy to do, but I'm sure this is how people live.
is not a romantic view in poetry form of a preferred way to practice?
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, it is a romantic ideal. I don't think it's romanticized though. I think it's just that's how much it is. Yeah.
So there's a kind of celebration throughout the Charikatha,
yeah,
of these monks who are able to live very, very simply.
Mm.
And these poems talking about these things were designed to inspire others to practice similarly, or?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
To give them a reference point in their own practice.
And to not be so kind of obsessed with material things and so on. I mean, you have a radical shift in the whole culture of Buddhism around the time of Ashoka, so maybe 200 years after the Buddha, when Buddhism became supported by these great kings who gave this kind of lavish assistance to the Sangha and so on. And the Sangha more and more tended to live in big monasteries, you know, thousands of monks staying there, royal support, and so it became a very different kind of thing. And these voices, this aesthetic voice sort of speaking from the earliest times of the Buddha, is I think a reminder of those values, mm, which you know, I mean, I'm also a monk. I don't live in a 3-palm-leaf hut, and I have quite a nice alms bowl and so on. So I don't keep all of those practices, but I do bear it in mind, and I always ask myself, you know, do I need these things? You know, what actually is it that is really essential for me, as opposed to, you know, this nice thing that I like to have.
Hmm. Yeah, they're pretty powerful reminders, I suppose, yeah, of, you know, what we don't need.
What we don't need, yeah. And it's not about being ascetic. It's not about torturing yourself. It's just, it's actually about how happy they are, you know, to have so little. These things are a burden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thanks, Simon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Simon. So thanks for that discussion. Glad you could join us again for Dhamma Threads, and we'll see you for the next session.